దేవి నామాత్మ Contamination. Prasanga. Intimately associated. Ayam. This king. Dandapani. Chastising hand. Sadhusu. To the criminals. Translation: the king will consider all embodied living entities as dear as his own self, and will always be increasing the pleasures of his friends. He will intimately associate with liberated persons, and he will be a chastising hand to all impious persons. Therefore, the word Devinam refers to those who are embodied. The living entities are embodied in different forms, which number 8,400,000 species. All of these are treated by the king in the same way he would treat himself. In this age, however, so-called kings and peasants do not treat all other living entities as their own self. Most of them are meat eaters, and even though they may not be eating, be meat eaters, and may pose themselves to be very religious and pious, they still allow cow slaughter within their state. Such sinless heads of state cannot actually be popular at any time. Another significant word in this verse is mukta sangha prasanga, which indicates that the king was always associating with liberated persons. This king is the master of the three worlds, and he is directly empowered by the Supreme Personality of God. And he is without change, and he is the incarnation of the Supreme, known as Shaktivesh Avatar. Being a liberated soul and completely learned, he sees all material varieties as meaningless because their basic principle is nescience. But the reciters of these prayers are describing the transcendental qualities of Prithu Maharaj. These qualities are summarized in the words Sakshat Bhagavan. This indicates that Prithu Maharaj is directly the Supreme Personality of God and therefore possesses unlimited good qualities. Being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharaj Prithu could not be equaled in his excellent qualities. The Supreme Personality of God is fully equipped with six kinds of opulences, and King Prithu was also empowered in such a way that he could display these six opulences of the Supreme Personality of God in full. The word kutastha means without change is also very significant. There are two kinds of religious entities, Nityamukta and Nityabaddha. And Nityamukta never forgets his position as the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who does not forget this position and knows that he is part and parcel of the Supreme is Nityamukta. Such a Nityamukta living entity represents the Supersoul as his expansion. As stated in the Vedas, Nityo Nityanam, thus the Nityamukta living entities knows that he is an expansion of the Supreme, Nitya or the Eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead. Being in such a position, he sees the material world with a different vision. The living entity who is Nityabaddha or eternally conditioned sees the material varieties as being actually different from one another. In this connection, we should remember that the embodiment of the conditioned soul is considered to be like a dress. One may dress in different ways, but a really learned man does not take dresses into consideration. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Avidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Sapakke Cha Pandita Samadarshanaha. The humble states that virtue of true knowledge sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. Thus, a learned man does not look upon the dresses that externally cover the living entity, but sees the pure soul within the variety of dress, and knows very well that the varieties of dress are the creation of Nishas. Being a Shaktivesh avatar, empowered by the Supreme Personality of God, Yadgirdha Maharaj did not change his spiritual position, and consequently there was no possibility of his viewing the material world as reality. The king will consider all embodied living energies as dear as his own self, and he will always be increasing the pleasures of his friends. He will intimately associate with liberated persons, and he will be chastising hand to all impious persons. This king is the master of the three worlds, and he is directly empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is without change, and he is an incarnation of the supreme known as a Shaktivesh avatar. Being a liberated soul and completely learned, he sees all material varieties meaningless because their basic principle is nations. So here we have a description of Kritu. More direct, because it says Sakshat Bhagavan Tradisha. He is the Lord of the three energies or the three worlds. He is directly Bhagavan Kutasa Atma Kalaya Avatirnaha, and he has appeared as Kala, as a portion of the Supreme Lord. He does not see, he sees everything in the material world as meaningless since it is created by avidya. He is actually, as Prabhupada says here, Shaktivesh avatar. Shaktivesh avatar means he is actually a jiva. He is not the same as Narasimha or Varaha or Kurma or Matsya. He is constitutionally a jiva. So we have Ishvara Tattva and we have Jiva Tattva. So he is in the category of jiva. Yet, he is also called avatar because of endowment of special powers. That is called Shaktya Vesh. Endowment of certain Shaktis of the Lord. Which means he is in a little bit of a different position from other jivas because of that power. So as it says here, he is not touched by the material world even though he appears in the material world. Whereas the jivas here are all conditioned. So he's not touched by the ignorance of the material world. So in that sense, he is like Ishvara. Supreme Lord comes in the material world, he is not touched. So the Shaktivesh avatar also comes in the material world, is untouched by anything. Of course, we can also say the Nitya Siddhas or the Nitya Muktas are also untouched. And they also come with the Supreme Lord or never touched by material energy. So we have persons like the Pandavas or the Rajavasis. They are Nitya Siddha devotees, Nitya Muktas, so they come in the material world. They are not touched also. And so what is the difference between the Shaktivesh and the Nitya Siddha? So we can say, of course, that the Shaktivesh are also Nitya Siddha, Nitya Muktas, because they're eternally with the Lord, etc. But their difference is that they have a particular function to perform on the behalf of the Lord, which is rather special. Just as Krishna comes and does many activities with his devotees, and he does many things in the material world for the stability of the material world, like killing demons and establishing dharma, etc. So the Shaktivesh avatars also have that particular function, whereas the Nitya Siddhas are those who accompany the Lord and support his activities in the material world. So we don't see the Pandavas doing any acts like on their own of creating and destroying in material world, etc. Certainly they destroy demons, but of course that power is given by Krishna. So independently they don't act. So the Shaktivesh avatars come independently, not with another form of the Lord. So the Nitya Siddhas come with Supreme Lord in some forms. When he comes, and Shaktivesh come, and then of course they have associates also who support them. And so they come and they play a role like the Supreme Lord as avatar. and they carry out certain functions on behalf of the Lord. So just as Narasimha comes and kills Hiranyakasipu, or Varaha comes and kills Hiranyaksha and then pulls the earth out of the water, or Matsya holds up Mandara mountain, so the Shaktivesh avatars also have particular functions. So for instance, Narada Muni comes and teaches bhakti everywhere, that's his particular function. And the Kumar teaches jnana. And Parsaram kills the bogus kshatriyas. So Prithu Maharaj, his special job is to level up the earth and create agriculture for the people of the world. That's his particular function of Shaktivesh avatar. So in this way, they have a special function to perform on behalf of the Lord, and they come with their particular devotees and do that. So this is a very special jiva who is given special powers by the Lord and acts almost like the Leela avatars. In fact, they're actually classed as Leela avatars as well. So in this way, they are special jivas, special nityasiddha jivas or nityamukta jivas. And on the other hand, we have the nityabuddha jivas, those who are in the material world eternally and are covered by material bodies, ignorance, etc. And they see the material world in terms, this is the only real thing. Whereas those who are nityamukta eternally relate with the Supreme Lord, and they understand their position in relation to the world. If they come in the material world, they know it is maya, they know it is useless, and they only associate with the Supreme Lord. So the Shaktivesh avatars, of course, come in the material world like the Lord, and they perform very, very special activities on the Lord's behalf. So these are fixed forms of the Lord. Rupa Goswami explains that they actually are eternal forms in the spiritual world also. And then they come in the material world. That's why they're called avatar. If the Lord is only in the spiritual world, we don't call him avatar. Like Krishna in the spiritual world, not called him avatar. When he comes in the material world, we call him avatar. So similarly, in the spiritual world, they're simply called Shakti Avesh forms, or Avesh forms, Avesh Rupa. When they come in the material world, then they're called Avesh avatars, or Shakti Avesh avatars. They have their eternal position with the Lord, they have eternal bodies, etc., just like the nityasiddhas. But they also have these eternal special powers for functioning in relation to certain things in the pastimes. And so they have special powers. So these are enumerated also in the Bhagavatam and in the Lagu Bhagavatamritam. And so they are not, everyone is a Shaktivesh avatar. We cannot produce or make up our Shaktivesh avatars, just we cannot make up Leela avatars. And so they're all fixed. So we have Narada and the Kumaras and Prithu and Parsaram and the form of Shesha who holds up the Bhumandala, is also a Shaktivesh avatar. And we also have in Kali Yuga, the form, the Yuga avatar is usually Shaktivesh avatar. So the Yuga avatar in Kali Yuga is usually Shaktivesh avatar. And Kalki is a Shaktivesh avatar. Buddha is a Shaktivesh avatar because Lord only comes in three Yugas. So the Kali Yuga is considered all Shaktivesh avatars. So these are the forms of the Lord who are Shaktivesh. And as I said, they're not everyone, not that anyone can become a Shaktivesh avatar because they're eternally in the spiritual world. They appear in the material world with certain functions, go back to the spiritual world again. So in this way we have certain fixed forms who are Shaktivesh. So the people here, the professional reciters, are identifying Prithu Maharaj in this way, that he's actually not a regular jiva or even a nityasiddha jiva, but a Shaktivesh jiva. He's very, very special. So it's mentioned here that he has qualities like the Supreme Lord, even though he's jiva. So he's called Tradisha. He is master of the three worlds. He is not covered by ignorance. He is not affected by the material world in any way. So this is, these of course could be qualities of the great jivas also. They can also not be affected by the material world, which is said is not affected. But then it also says Sakshat Bhagavan. He is also the Supreme Lord. In this way, the Shaktivesh avatars are considered the Lord because of these special powers. So they are distinguished from the jivas, the Nitya Bandhas and the Nitya Jivas. Therefore, we have different types of jivas. We have Nitya Muktas, we have Nitya Bandhas, and then we have Shaktiveshwars. So actually, we got three forms of jivas here. The only thing is that the Nitya Buddhas can turn into Muktas. They're called Buddha Muktas. Those who were conditioned become liberated from the material world. So once they go to the spiritual world, of course, there's not much difference between them and the Nitya Muktas. So very, very similar. So in this way we have the jivas divided up into different groups. And according to the scriptures, there is a process by which the Nitya Buddhas can get out of the material world. The philosophy defines the different types of jivas, Nitya Muktas, Nitya Buddhas, Supreme Lord's position, and then the process for the Nitya Buddha to go to the spiritual world. That is called Abhijaya. Sambandha is definition of the Lord and the jivas in the material world, the spiritual world, and bondage, etc. Then the Abhijaya, or the process, is mentioned in the scriptures as bhakti. And the goal is stated as prema. Not just liberation, but prema. So Lord Chaitanya says these three subjects are the only subjects of scripture. So scripture should describe the position of the Lord and the jivas, and should describe the process by which the jiva gets out of the material world, and should describe the goal of the jiva once he gets out of the material world. That's all. These three things. So these things are covered in the Brahma Sutras, and Lord Chaitanya also says that the Brahma Sutras are the commentary, natural commentary in the Brahma Sutras is Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, the same philosophy which is defined in the Brahma Sutras is also in the Bhagavatam. And the Brahma Sutras are simply an explanation of the Upanishads. And Upanishads are Shruti, eternal. And they are the superior part of the Vedas, again, portion of the Vedas. So therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam represents the meaning of the Vedas, meaning of the Brahma Sutras, etc., everything. The devotee has to understand all of these topics. And therefore, the devotee has to listen to the scripture, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, and we can get the clear meaning of the Vedas of the Bhagavatam, that is Sambandha Abhijaya Prayojana. We can get that of Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly. If we go to the Brahma Sutras, we may be a little confused. If we go to the Vedas, we may get confused. But if we go to the Bhagavatam, then we'll get the clear meaning of everything. So this is the, that is why our acharyas have mainly concentrated on explaining the Srimad Bhagavatam and not the scriptures or other Puranas, whatever. So they concentrate on Srimad Bhagavatam because it is the essence of all the scriptures. So if one develops knowledge of these three things, Sambandhi, Abhijaya, and Prayojana, then we can execute bhakti properly and come out of the stage of Namabhas to Sudanam. And it's only with Sudanam that one can get to Prema. If we have Namabhas, we cannot get Prema. We just go out and we can get liberation. So we have to develop that knowledge.
Become liberated. Mm. one should become even with pure devotee, become liberated. Not part of the other pure yoga. Not part of the other pure yoga.
Of course, Sudanam, even if we do Sudanam, we're not actually pure. But the process actually is pure at that stage. Whereas the process is covered in Namavas. Bhakti, in any case, is pure. Just like the sun is not shining today, but there's little light out. So this is Avas of the sun. The sun is not covered, the sun is up there beyond the clouds. If you go to an airplane above the clouds, then you have sunlight. Very nice. So the bhakti also is not actually impure. But our coverings of ignorance create abhas like this. So the power of the holy name is weakened by that. So if we remove the ignorance by knowledge, then we get clear sunshine. But of course, that doesn't mean we're actually pure, but at least the name is coming more powerfully and purely. And so that's Sudanam. And by that process of Sudanam, then we of course become purified. Not only are we purified, the name is not different from Krishna, so we realize Krishna. That's even better than liberation. So we develop prema through the process of nama, not just liberation. One can get liberated but not get prema. Oh, well, just like bhakti, pure bhakti, uttama bhakti, as defined in nectar devotion, is sadhana, bhava, and prema. So we call it, of course, it isn't. It's not that it's pure. The devotee's not pure. The process is pure. So it acts upon the devotee, and then the devotee becomes purified. So the same with sudanam. As the obstructions are removed, so the name is pure. But, of course, we are not pure, but it acts upon us to purify us. Yeah. And in Namabhas, because of the ignorance, the effect is much less weaker. It is pure, but because of the obstacles, the effect ultimately is much less. Well, this is like Namabhas. So you hear from a aparadi, of course, then you don't get any effect. It is not the name anymore. So no shakti in that. No spiritual shakti. It's not bhakti. Namaparadi or mayavadi or someone gives you instructions and chanting and whatever, or Krishna katha. It is all maya.
What about when we go to preach? We may not be pure, but we just tell them the chant.
Well, yeah. Madhyamadikaris are preachers. They're not pure, 100% pure, but the shakti of bhakti is there, given by the Lord. So that is there. So therefore, that to that extent, to the degree that they are pure, to that extent, it affects people.
What somebody reads the Prabhupada books, maybe a disciplinary books. Prabhupada has a English chant and they get offended. Prabhupada is sitting in a diary.
Yeah. I don't know, there may be Parsaram, some worshippers of Parsaram in Kerala. Generally, I don't see any Prutu worshippers or Kumaras or Narada worshippers anywhere. Kalki worshippers, somewhere. Buddha worshippers. A lot of Buddha worshippers. So, generally, not so popular. Shiva? They can go to Shiva, I suppose.
Yes.
Shiva Loka, which is not quite the spiritual world because he is form of the Lord but with less powers. So he's not actually in Vaikuntha. There are this form of the devatas and of Shiva in the spiritual world also, but those are actually spiritual forms for the pastimes of the Lord.
Mr. Vaishnavana, Mithasambhu, Shiva is the best Vaishnavana. Krishna says, when you worship by a devotee, and we have some people may argue that if you worship Shiva as Vaishnava.
We can, but that doesn't mean we have to neglect the worship of Krishna also. We should do both then. So there's a Sampradaya, Shiva Sampradaya. And it's a Vaishnava Sampradaya.
Why does it go to Shiva that he comes back again to the
Vaishnava? It's not really said, but I would suppose not. Because Shiva has an eternal body. That's how he's distinguished from other forms like jivas. So he never becomes conditioned.
So he gets stuck there?
Yeah, I guess so. It's not really mentioned, as I said. But I suppose one would get stuck there.
At least one worship Brahma, he comes back to the earthly planet again, he gets a good chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Shiva's got his eternal abode. She is actually an expansion, a reflected expansion of Lakshmi. Just as Shiva is a form of Ishvara, but with significantly less powers, limited powers. So that we can say that Parvati or Durga is an expansion from Lakshmi with significantly less powers.
The definition of Nitya is eternal.
Yeah.
It can't be changed. You say Nitya Siddha, Nitya Buddha. Nitya Siddha does not come back as a material world.
Yeah.
Vice versa can be the Nitya Buddha, eternally conditioned. They also cannot go back there. The ultimate thing is.
Yeah. Well, in that sense, that is why the Nitya Buddhas are called Anadi Bahir Mukha, with no beginning. But they can, in the future, there's no beginning to their bondage, but there can be an end to it. And Anadi Karma, karma is Anadi also. We cannot say that in the form of the Nitya Mukta Sala, because then we can say if liberation has an end, and everybody would fall down. And then it would have no meaning at all. Sometimes.
So
yeah.
Would that also be Shakti
Rish? Well, like that, but it's not really classified as such, but I suppose just like Guna avatars, Brahma could be called a Shakti Rish avatar of sorts. But the problem with that is that's not an eternal position. One becomes a Brahma and then later he gets what spiritual world and gets the body there. So that's not an eternal, whereas the Shakti Rish ones are eternal in the spiritual world. So becoming Brahma, they still have a material body. So, of course, Shiva doesn't have a material body. But if a jiva becomes Shiva, then he may have a material body.
So you mean the Shiva is not eternal? The jiva can be eternal?
No, that is a jiva.
Not a post. Shiva is not a post.
No, it's not a post. Normally, it's because he's got an eternal body.
One in some places that I've heard that Gopas has a Shakti
Rish. Well, yeah, they say that, but I think maybe that's more the... There's no scriptural evidence of that, and plus they're all fixed, so I don't know if that's applicable. There's another form called Vibhutis, which is kind of less. So that's jivas with special powers, but less than the Shakyamuni avatars and not eternal. So the devatas are called Vibhutis of the Lord, and manus are called Vibhutis of the Lord, great kings are called Vibhutis of the Lord, etc. Because Shakti Vaishnava avatars have an eternal body. So that body is like that in the spiritual world.
Why do you see that they won't age?
Well, not necessarily, because we see that Krishna has a baby and then he grows. So if their sarup is to have old age or something like that, in certain cases like Nanda Maharaj has got white hair or something like that, then that's their form, you know. So it depends.
Dharmatraya Sri Jai. Jai.
जगह है। Ah, bon, pas.